ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Making noise. I want to speak quickly on consistency. Consistency, just briefly, is a very powerful word. The strength of character or the strength of integrity is shown in consistency. The strength of your character, I mean valuable character, noble character, is revealed. The strength of your integrity is revealed by consistency. A man is not said to be. Consistency is the number one problem of believers. Lack of consistency, the lack. Now, anybody can have encounter. Anybody can receive the word of God. Anybody can manifest what seems to be spirituality. But the measure of spirituality is in your consistency to the values of scriptures. The challenge with sister, so that in case she hears this message, is that what happens to people such that after school, they just find this coldness come around their life. Are you following what I'm talking about? They just discover that they are not as hot. I've had people call and say, my spiritual life is not as hot as it is. Another, the shocking part is people like that, sister. Somebody who is on fire for God, as it were. And then 1 month or 2 months after, she's committing fornication. Not drug fornication. She's a professional, as it were, a prostitute. I remember a Bible study secretary who will break scriptures in the fellowship. He is sound in the scriptures. But 3 months into his NYSC, 3 weeks, not even 3 months, 3 weeks in camp, started sleeping with ladies. So, how do you reconcile this? And can I prepare you? Can I prepare you for the worst? If we have to put it that way, that there are those who says they are servants of Christ, but we find shocking things about them. That's terrible. Let me tell you that you should please prepare your heart such that if another most respected, most trusted servant of God falls into sin, whatever it is, your heart will not be moved. Very important. I won't mention name. There is a notable servant of Christ, powerful. He had over 13,000 books in his library, if not 18,000. Respected all over the world. Did ministry for over 50 years. Has converted many people. Has led many people out of confusion. World renowned. He died of cancer. But immediately he died, stories were uncovered about a repeated act of fornication, immorality. Not one, not two. Uncovered from sources. 50 years of ministry closed down. The problem was, there was no notable confession before he died. I remember at the time, my wife would use his words to speak to me. Anytime I'm trying to get my headway as a husband, my wife would say, remember the words of so-and-so said. It was like an authority. Now, oh. So to find such a servant, it affected me. For months, I didn't tell my wife, because of how I believe she held that man in honor. I didn't tell her. I couldn't tell her. Obviously, she was not in the news. She was busy with the children and all that. So I said, no, my wife will break down. My wife will be afraid for me. That was the fear. The fear was not even the man. The fear was that she would be afraid for me. Where have you now reached? Have you done ministry for 50 years? Have you traveled around the world? I don't even have 1,000 books in my library. Talk less of 15,000. Consistency. So I put it to you in a simple way. What is the most valuable ingredient for consistency? You're sitting here and you're shut up. That's not, we thank God for that. But it's when I come to your house and I jam you 20 years after, 30 years after. And sometimes it's when you have died that we know how consistent your life has been. I can take up any message. You can honor me. You can respect me. Our oversight, our brother, our so and so. But there are those who knows my life. My wife is one of them. I don't think anybody knows me deeply. My strength, my weakness, my passion, my persuasion. Like my wife. Nobody else knows. She's the only one that can tell to that extent, this is who my husband is. But beyond that, what about other people that come back from their wives? Like cases that are terrible. Even their wife will not know. And when they die, the shocking news will come falling like torrents of rain. I'm putting this to you. One of the problems of the church in Nigeria is the correlation between your life and your message. Let's put that down. That's one ingredient for consistency. One, the agreement of your life and message. Agreement of your life and message. And message means what you speak. The agreement of your life and message. And the only way you get this is to be done is constant, or should I say, repeated evaluation. Using the scriptures and your message as the standard. Please take note of what I'm saying now. This is very key. Agreement of your life and what you say, your message. The only way you will cause your life, I have often preached, and I found out that it was from the mouth of a respected servant of God, whom I love so much, Derek Prince, who said it. He said, forgive us, we preachers. Many times we say what we don't do. If you have preached long enough, I've been in ministry now, it's been running to 20 years. About that, I started ministry as soon as I got saved. In fact, I got saved while introduced to ministry. Mr. Adekola called me one day and said, Benga, that's how I got saved. Benga, you are now the Bible study secretary. I was appointed before I was converted. Mine is such a strange one, I will not recommend that for anybody. You are now, no induction, no interview, nothing. Nothing. Whatever that man saw, only heaven knows. Wherever he is, I bless God for that man. You know, you are now, no interview, there's no even chance to pray, you cannot think about it. It was, I don't know what you call that, it was an induction. So it was simply, you have to preach, you have to teach, you have to study the Bible, you have to give the people the message. That's how I got. It was after I was appointed, and I look at my life. Now, I took the appointment because I feared that teacher. I loved that teacher. Adekola was a deeper life man, no nonsense, principled, loved the Lord, and you are now the. So I am now, I just got my, so the next thing, on Tuesday, we're going for leadership training program. That's all. That's how I got involved. And I found myself in a leadership training program where I'm supposed to be a leader. So I sat down there and a man preached on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. And I found the Bible study secretary of the fellowship who had just been appointed, found out that I don't know the man I want to go and preach. I don't have the life of the message I was about to preach. That's how I came into the faith. I repented from that day on. The best gift my father ever gave me were not clothes. He was not there for me as a father. I suffered through life, but the best gift he ever gave was a King James Bible. I think it was a red cover. I just simply asked him, Daddy, I need a Bible, and shockingly, very shockingly, he got me that Bible. Brand new. The first scripture I knew ever in my life that I'll never forget is Mark chapter 16 from verse 15 to 18. I can recite it even in my sleep. That was the first scripture. Because the next Tuesday, in leadership training program, we were supposed to recite that same scripture. And we lined up in our numbers. And they said, whosoever can recite that scripture will get a gift. I recited it, and then I got the gift. He told the other people to. That's how my journey began. And from that day onward, I was preaching fiery messages. I remember I started preaching visions. God will come in the night, give me a dream and a vision. I'll preach it next day. God will come in the night, give me a dream and a vision. I'll preach it next day. As I started preaching, the word of God was affecting the school. It was affecting teachers. God began to confirm the calling upon my head by the result of the word of God. That's how I began ministry. That started when I was in SS1. Today is about 21 years. And then from there on, there were confirmations. School started calling me. Started going to places to preach. But I find this out. Many, many times, I speak things I never did. I spoke too fast. I spoke without thinking. Many times in the name of steering people, you say things that you're not supposed to say. So I found out consistency was missing in my life. Derek Prince said, forgive us. Sometimes we preachers, God bless you sisters, the Lord uphold you in Jesus' name. All right. We're talking on consistency. I am tired, you know, I here now, the only person that I know who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are following me as disciples, is Brother Isaac, is Brother Muhammad. The rest of you, I know whether Brother Isaac is your disciple or something like that. These are two disciples that I know. Now, I pray for them. I pray for disciples. Because the problem is not just about, oh, we are following that brother. The issue is how consistent is my life with my message. Very key. And nobody knows how consistent you are like yourself and the Holy Spirit. Nobody. My wife doesn't know how consistent I am. Many times my wife has got to stand up publicly and said, everything my husband says outside, his life matches it in the house. Publicly, I didn't ask him to say that. He said, everything you showed us in scripture, you live before me, you live before the children. That's our evaluation. But when I get to my quiet time, the Holy Spirit will start. That's your wife's evaluation. Can I give you the evaluation now? Agreement of your life with your message. Very key. I'm tired of seeing people who speak in tongues, spend hours praying in other tongues. Just let them graduate. You see, you can't boast of quality until you are tested. Testing is what shows your quality. Untested fellow cannot be said to have quality. Sitting down here doesn't mean you can endure stress. No. You know what it means for you to finish school, for some of you, and then you have carried over this extra year. That's your first test of quality. We are going to check your consistency. You are being weighed in the balance. I didn't stand before people and tell them I'm a child of God, but I'm staying back in school. Your quality is being weighed. You need to stand the test of time and face it headlong. You are not a failure until you agree that you are one. You are not a failure until you agree that you are one. Failure is not a sign that I missed a mark. I didn't get to reach my goal or objective. Failure is the acceptance of a state. And that state simply means I can't go further. That's failure. Failure is the acceptance of a state. And that state simply means I can't go further. That's just failure. Failure is not that I got F. Failure is not that I missed it. Failure is just the acceptance of a state. And that state is what? I can't go further. That's a failure. When I came here in 2018, if I'm correct, I saw a group of all of you burdened for Nigeria, burdened for revival, burdened for Islam, burdened for University of Ilorin. My heart went, I got home, I got excited. I told my wife, I said, I found a group of young people who are not giving up until the glory of God. It's been long we find people like this. And we're excited, we praise the name of the Lord. That's why my heart has always been here. But beyond that, there are people who took it up like you who are no more. Burdens like you. Some even did more than you. Their prayer worked to miles more than you. They gave all more than you. And many, many times, when we thought that they are going to shake the nations, I remember, I think, it's Brogbele that used to make that insinuation. I paraphrase his words. He said, the way you are moving, Brogbele said, the way you are moving on campus, everybody thought, what? This brother, we give him 10 years, he will have been shaking the world. Mm-hmm. Brogbele said, and every brother checked you after 15, 20 years, you are still in your local assembly. What has shut your mouth or reduced you may be hidden secret and habits, the ones you did not deal with. Sometimes when you are leaving school, graduation is a very strong time for evaluation. Graduation is a very strong period, is a window for evaluation. You sit down and you take log of your life. You sit down, you don't deceive yourself and talk about coming man of God. Excuse me, you are, forget man of God. Forget man of God. Get yourself to sit and do some level of critical thinking with the Holy Ghost in prayers. What is, nobody knows about my consistency like myself and the Holy Spirit. Even the closest to me, who is my wife, does not know the hidden things of my heart. It's except I reveal it to her. I remember I preached in a church at one time, and my wife was seated. And then after the message, I felt there was no anointing. I felt there was no power. I felt nobody was impacted. I felt I was just beaten about the bush. Well, but the people prayed. But the pastor of the church came to me and was very excited that the message touched life. But I know how the virtue goes out when the anointing is upon when I'm teaching God's word. I know it. I know it. See, there are places I preach and I just talk. There are places where the anointing comes. I know somebody's life will be transformed. I've seen some things in some churches as I preach. But this other day, I just beat about the bush. Tried to pull everything together. By the time I landed my message, I felt so dry. So when we finished, everybody came and told God, oh, bless you, brother. Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. And then my wife, when we got to, my wife was, saw my attitude and said, hey, sweetheart, were you blessed by that message? She said, sure. I was blessed. But I know my wife said, I was blessed. I know I am blessed. When my wife is blessed, I know when she's blessed. When she's not blessed, I know she's not blessed. I know she's encouraging me. So I said, no, baby, let's just be real. I felt I was, he said, well, and she, I think she knelt down or something. I said, I really appreciate your sincerity. I felt so too. If I didn't come out, she would not say it. Why? I'm an authority. I'm a disciple. So she didn't, she was going about going to prepare my food, but she wanted to say something. So when I said I felt that I was beaten about the bush, I didn't think I make some, any sense or something like that. He said, I felt so. Now look at that. No, but sometimes those that should evaluate you may be afraid to say it. The only person who can evaluate himself properly is yourself and the Holy Spirit. There are many times we fumble. Yeah, we fumble. Yes, we stand up again. And we move on. Hallelujah. He does not cast us off before because we made one or two mistakes. But God does not like the life of pretense. When you pretend to be what you are not, you are far from consistency. Let's close it up. Agreement of your life and your message. Constant, repeated evaluation. From your standard is the scripture and your message. That's your standard. The scripture and your message. See, many, many times when you may not be a preacher like me. You may not be given opportunity to teach or preach. But always listen to yourself when you speak. When you pray. Watch yourself. Some of you know the reputation you have in church at home. In church, when you sing, even if you are just a minister, You know the reputation that you have. Evaluate yourself. And then finally, number two. What leads to consistency or lack of it is conviction. When conviction is not found in a man, he will lack consistency. Now, don't mind the message. I'm dealing with what makes room for consistency. Agreement of your life and message. Number two, conviction. That's where I'm going to stop. Conviction. The things you said you believe, are you truly convinced about? Are you convinced? That sister that became a professional prostitute, the problem is she was an environmental Christian. There's a way you can stay under corporate anointing. And you are challenged, you are moved. That's why when people go for holiday, they are looking for another meeting. Because they feel dry. They say, my brethren. Why we know that that is very profitable? But I tell you, the question I used to ask myself is this. What if I'm the only Christian on earth? In my streets, in my area. Jesus would still have died for me. If I'm the only fruit that will remain, Jesus would still have died. But the truth is, do I have conviction about who I'm following? To the point, you see, I've had to ask myself some questions. If my wife dies, my children are killed, will I still continue to serve the Lord? I ask myself regularly. If I lose all, will I still love the Lord? You don't wait for pressure and situations to ask you that question. Ask yourself before the situation happens. That's how to be a Christian. Don't join this euphoria of Christians of God bless me, glory to God. I'm in favor, I'm in grace. Hallelujah, say after me, I'm in grace. No, don't join that. Ask real critical questions that the early church asked. We will serve him no matter what. In the face of persecution, when my prayers are not answered, will you serve the Lord? When you pray for 35 years without answer, will you still serve the Lord? Those are real questions that provide for consistency. You ask yourself, what if after now nothing seems to work the way I want it to work? See, it's not lack of positive confession. It's not being in faith. I have seen disciples. Thank God for some. By the grace of God, some of the disciples that are following me, many of them are getting married now. Are giving birth to children. Some are presently pregnant, expecting delivery. Some of my disciples have not given birth. And they've been married. I went to check one and then she has been talking to her husband. My disciple is coming, blah, 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 blah. And the man was supposed to go to office. He waited for me till I said, she has been speaking about you, sir. And I really, really wanted to meet you. We got there. Thank God for grace. Imagine a man was going out of the house and left me alone with his wife in the whole house. You see, when you live a life of trust, people know. When your life is shady, some knows. This is your own transparent password phone, password picture, password message. You password everything. It's a sign. People take your phone, you password the screen. When they enter the screen, you want to send a message, you password it. You want to go to gallery, you password it. Why? Why are you passwording and putting gates near your life, telling people not to come near? It's a sign that you'll be good at keeping secrets. And openness is part of the character of the kingdom. You must be open. Where are you going? Somewhere. What do you want to buy? Something. How do you want to do it? Somehow. Where are you going? Somewhere. It's a problem. All my disciples in the house, they know. If you say, Daddy, I want to go and buy something, you can't even say that. You can't. What is not so? That thing irritates me personally. What do you want to buy? Book. And what? Biro. Say it. Which street are you going? The one next to us. To do what? To see a woman there. For what? Spell it out. You don't use something. You don't say something. You don't say somewhere. You don't say that. Be traceable. Don't say someone. Who do you want to see? A friend. Stop that. Stop that. I want to go and see Kunle, a friend. Where did you meet him? So time. Be real. Be traceable, brother. Be traceable. So he left me with his wife, and then, oh, the girl went talking. Obinga, I've missed you. I've missed your messages, your teachings. Thank you for coming. She has been having challenge with you of childbearing. What do you say concerning that? She has gone through a lot in the hospital. I think about, is it not 32, 5 fibroids or so? Terrible thing. She had to go through pains, oppression, lost pregnancy. So what happens? This is a girl we raised, taught her to love the Lord. Now she's married. She went for the Lord. She didn't go for useless man. The brother was a correct brother and all of that. And then now the child is not coming. What do you say to that? And then you have finished all the tongues. You have quoted all the scriptures. You have believed God. But it looked as if your life was ending like Sarah. Sarah of the Bible. What do you say to that? So you see, your consistency will be tested by the level of your conviction. Your conviction about you being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. While I bless God for disciples who are following me, I repeatedly tell them, you are following Jesus. I'm privileged to just coach and guide you. Get that straight. If you don't have a conviction to follow Jesus, you have a problem. It's Jesus you are following, armed by experience that have experienced things before you. That's what we are using. And I'm showing you that this is the way I went. This is where I went. I also follow somebody. So get it clear. Even if you're a discipler, let the people, and when they play, some people want to build camp around me. Don't build camp around me. You build it around Christ. I am your coach. I'm helping you to see. I'm guiding you. There's a wisdom inside you. But we're helping to build, fine-tune, reshape, restructure. I lead you to books. I lead you to messages. Just for you to be well-guided. But don't dare worship, adore, trying to build a camp around me. And don't defend me for anything. You see something that's not right, call me up. Call me up. That's how I raise people. But when there's something you said, I love some of the disciples like that. They'll come and say, sir, there's something you said. Go on, please. This is the way you said it, but we felt it was like this. Then we sit down. After, I'm sorry, sir. I think I get it now. Some other time I'm about to take that correction. I think you are right. Sorry, brother. I think I was wrong. Period. And I move on. You know why? Conviction. I'm convinced of the life of Jesus and I want to live that life. I saw Jesus. I saw how plain he was. See, when you are no more a woman of conviction, you don't know the pressure that will come in your marriage. See, no. Let me let you know something. God does not tell us the fullness of how our journey will be. My brother here, when he said it, I laughed. He said he wanted to rest after school. But by his story, he loved the Lord. I was shocked when he told me that he was selling fried fish and meat as a copper. Because he left ministry. He left labor. So he became a seller of fish. He was roasting pepper. Oh, Jesus. I could not imagine it. But God had better plans for him. Not that it was wrong to fry fish. But he said, but what? Why are you doing it? That's how many people lost their consistency with the Lord. A missionary got to a place. It's funny, but it's not funny. And then he was trying to penetrate the land. And he wasn't penetrating. So he started making it grow land bonds. So as he started that business, people were coming. He was making friends, but he was selling also. The team became big. Became big. He became so busy with egg roll and bones that he left ministry. My wife will often laugh about it. Strategy to win souls became the idol of his heart when real money was coming. Many times, pressure will come to prove your conviction. This is where we stop now. Before you pray, I want you to ask yourself, is there anything that will take my gaze and focus away from Christ? Even if for the next 40 years, I don't have money. I don't have where to live. If I even have to be sleeping in churches, will I still serve the Lord? I know there's a gospel message that talks about prosperity is your Lord. But if I take you again to the Bible, go and read Hebrews chapter 11. Study it very well. I'm shocked that they said by faith. Some people did something. And they still said by faith. Some suffered by faith. It's in the Bible. They conquered kingdom by faith. Some suffered by faith and refused deliverance by faith. See, we need a church that teaches us a balanced message. We are not afraid when we don't have money. We are not afraid when there's no food to eat. And we are not afraid if we are going to suffer. And we are not afraid for any other reason. Our focus is Jesus, whether we have or we don't have. But will he abandon us? No. Why do we seek for prosperity? Kingdom influence. Period. Minus that, let the money go. We need to rethink. Why do you want to marry? Kingdom influence. Minus that, let the brother go. Let the woman go. Why do you want the job? Kingdom influence. Minus that, let the job go. I can be selling akara by the roadside if it was God's ordination for me. I don't care if I'm a graduate. Once that's what he wants me to be. Let your conviction be deep about the person of the Lord. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Are you convinced? If the gospel power has convinced you, nobody will beg you to share your faith with another person. If you know the power of what changed you, you will share it with somebody else. This shyness in preaching the gospel is a sign that your conviction has faults. I have something that has changed my life. I watch this other life decaying, but I can't share. I'm shy about what changed my life. I have a question on that. Sometimes I see Christians, I'm saying, did he change your life? You sure changed your life? Say, change your life. What about that other friend? He said, well, I'm trying to see if I can't. I don't even understand myself. Probably he didn't change your life. Probably you are just religious, like sister so-and-so. The Lord will strengthen us. I want you to bow your heads and pray. And ask that the Lord will help you.